Good morning. Today's daf from Baba Kama Samech Zayin. We're on Samech Vav Amud Beis. We're going to be starting at the two dots. Eitz Ve'ah by the Rav Yosef, the challenge to Rav Yosef. And we are here now in some very basic sugyas in the seventh parak of Baba Kama regarding Shinu and Yesh and whether or not they are Kona. Okay, you take an item that belongs to somebody else and you are going to acquire them for yourself. Sometimes legitimately and sometimes illegitimately. But nevertheless, if you do, let's say, for example, Shinu and Maisa, if you do a physical change to the item, so you made a kinyan on the item, that does not make you necessarily a good person, but nevertheless, the Shinu is Kona. You steal an item and therefore you render a change in the item, a physical change in the item, one that is irreversible, so you're going to be Kona. This is what's called Shinu Kona. So that's yesterday's daf. Shinu Kona, how do I know that? So the Gemara says, Shinu Kona. So I know that for a host of reasons. I have a pasuk in the Torah. I have Mishnayos. The Gemara cites numerous sources that Shinu is Kona. What about Yeush? Is Yeush going to be Kona? So here's what we know. If I find a lost item where there was nothing illegal, it was perfectly legal. And so if I find a lost item and I pick it up and Yeush has occurred. So under those circumstances, so Yeush is definitely going to be Kona. Okay? In other words, I've acquired the item. But let's say I obtained the item illegitimately, i.e. I stole the item. So under those circumstances, when I steal an item, when it's theft, so now, after I steal the item, now the owner has had Yeush. So now, can I now claim that I have acquired the item? Does that work? Is Yeush by itself going to be a method of Kinyan? Good. So that was the Gemara's question yesterday. And we took our range of positions in yesterday's daf. Number one, the Gemara says that maybe midoraisa works. Number two, the Gemara says that maybe it only works midorabban and not midoraisa. And then number three, the sheet of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says it does not work, period. Simply, it does not work. Yeush that occurs upon illegitimate gain, so that will not work. I steal an item, and so thereby I illegitimately have taken the item to myself. And now the owner has given up hope on getting the item back. So Yeush is not going to be Kona. That is the Shita of Rav Yosef. As we're going to learn over the course of today's daf, other Amoraim are on board with Rav Yosef. But right now, Rav Yosef by himself is of the position that Yeush is not going to be Kona. Not Midoraisa, not even Midorabanan. Good.
Doesn't Yeush work in the principle that the owner has Yeush become Hefker, so whoever has it...
Correct. That's correct. So in other words, again, if it's Yeush on an item that was lost, so then Anachinami. So then the Yeush of the owner now makes the item ownerless, and so therefore Yeush by anyone who picks it up is going to be Kona. That part's easy. That Gemara's Moda. However, Yeush after Gzela, that's what we're discussing right now. So Yeush after Gzela, so is that going to be Kona? Yes or no? Okay, good. So it's a Machlokas. So it's a Machlokas amongst the Amoraim. So with that stated, so now Eitzvei, so picking up where we left off yesterday. So Eitzvei, Abai L'Rev Yosef, Arusha B'Labai, so this is the Mishnah in Kalim, and this is chapter 26, 30 prakim in total in the Mishnah in Kalim, Per Chavav. So Arusha B'Labai is Machshava Metamasa. So if I have hides of the Bal Habayis, in other words, these are not hides that are for sale. Some people, you know, people owning animals, shachting the animals, skinning the animals, flaying the animals, and keeping the hides to themselves. But it's not commercial. And now, machshava metamasa. So now, as long as he has a machshava, in other words, he thinks to himself, I'm going to be using this. Now, the important point over here is that his machshava becomes significant because he's going to be the end user. In other words, unlike somebody who's going to be selling the hides, he's not going to be the end user. So whatever he thinks about the hides, it's inconsequential. In other words, there's going to be a buyer. The buyer's kavana is going to be significant. That's why the Mishnah Kalim is talking about the balabais. So, Orosha balabais, the machshava metamasan, shel avdan, ein machshava metamasan. Good. Okay. So the balabais' machshava is going to be significant. The machshava of the seller, the professional me'abed, the professional tanner, his machshava is not going to be significant. And again, we're learning Mishnah's Kalim over here, so you understand why is it important, significant, and insignificant? Because we want to know, when is it going to be Mekabel Tumah? When a Kli has arrived at its end use, in other words, now it's a functional Kli, So at that point in time, now it's going to be Mekabel Tuma. Any time prior to that, it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. So let's say now you have a hide and you figure, you know what? Perfect. As it is right now, it's perfect. I'm going to be using it as a spread for my table, as a cover for my table, or for my bed. So again, if you're the end user, great. Your machshava is going to make it now a kli. On the other hand, if you're just a ma'abed who's looking to sell it, your machshava is not going to be significant. Good, that's the Mishnah and Kalim. So far, not the point that's relevant towards us. Next part of the Mishnah is, Shalganav machshava metamasam, and Shalgazan ein machshava metamasan. Now, what if you're a ganav? What if you're a gazlan? You stole the hide. Now, Geneva, of course, you concealed your identity. Gzela, you did not conceal your identity. So here, the Tanakhama says it depends. If you're a ganav, your machshava is significant. If you're a gazlan, your machshava is not significant. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Chilaf Advarim, Shalgazla machshava metamasan, and Shalganav ein machshava metamasan, lefishal os yashua balim. Good. And Rabbi Shimon says, switch it, flip it around. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gazlan's machshava, so it's going to be metame. Why? Because by gzela. What's happening by gzela? So I'm presenting myself, hi, here I am, I'm not concealing my identity, and thank you very much, I take that item from you. Otherwise known as gzela. According to Rabbi Shimon, at that point in time, yesh has occurred. How do we know that yesh has occurred? Because right now, is he going to get the item back? I have no problem sharing with him my identity. In other words, basically I'm saying to him, I'm taking it from you, and there's nothing he could do about it. Yes, he's going to feel terrible, but as far as hoping that he's going to get the item back, all hope is lost. According to Rabbi Shimon, by Gzela. On the other hand, by Geneva, Rabbi Shimon says that the psychology behind Geneva is that the victim is going to think, I'm going to be able to find the thief and get it back. Meaning, right, the thief is not that tough. In fact, he's a coward. Right, he comes in the middle of the night. He takes in the middle of the night. I'll find it. I'll get it back. That's Rabbi Shimon's view of Gzela versus Geneva. On the other hand, the Tanakhama feels the opposite. By Gzela, I'll be able to get it back. In fact, I even know who it is. By Geneva, I don't know who it is. I'm not going to get it back. So good. Machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. When there's yesh and when there's no yesh. However you psychologically explain it. The point of the Mishnah and Kalim is that once Yesh occurs, so now there is a Kinyan. Okay, good. So now, Rav Yosef, let's go over that Mishnah again. That Mishnah has just taught us a really simple lesson. And that is that once Yesh occurs, by either Ganev or Gzela, wherever there's Tam Yesh, once Yesh has occurred, so there's a Kinyan on the item. You, Rav Yosef, maintain that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. What do you do with that Mishnah and Kalim? That's a very tough question. Shema mina yesh kona. The Gemara makes exactly this point. So Amar le hachem and my skin could go shikitz on. So Rav Yosef says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where not only did you steal the item, but you made a physical change in the item. A shinui maisa. So the Gemara says, Masi of the Rabbi Rav Chanan v'halo itzba shanukan. So the itzba in tzricha kitzua. No, we're talking about an itzban. Right, I say it as if it's such a davar pashut. I don't know what an itzban is, but in other words, but the Rashi over here says, and it seems to be the simple pshat over here. In other words, it's some sort of spread for the table, right? And the idea over here is that an itzban does not need a shinu, does not need a physical change. In other words, you steal the item, that's it. Period. And how did you acquire it? Using the method of yesh. Yesh by itself is going to be kona. The itzban itzricha kitzua. Did none, and how do I know that? Because all you need to do is just look one Mishnah earlier over there in Kalim. Kol makom shein chisaron malacha, machshava metamasan, yesh chisaron malacha, ein machshava metamasan, chutz mina itzba. So the itzba, in other words, it needs a little bit of trimming, but the truth of the matter is it does not need any kind of real physical change. So the itzba does not need a real shinui, a shinui maisa, so therefore we're talking about an itzba, and by the itzba, what do we say? That as long as there's yesh, you're going to be kona. Okay. Ela marava haimilsakashi be rabba la rav Yosef, Yosef esrim v'tachin shnim v'lo iparka. Now, so Rava points out now that this question was posed to Rav Yosef, bothered Rav Yosef for a total of 22 years. Now, our girsa of the Gemara, which I just read, is kashiba rabba li rav Yosef. Okay, Rava was challenging Rav Yosef with this kasha for 22 years. Anyway. And we'll stay with that gear. So there are other gear sauce of the Gemara, but basically now So according to you, Rav Yosef, Yeush by itself is not going to be Kona. That's Shitas Rav Yosef. Meanwhile, we just learned the Mishnah and Kalim, and the Mishnah and Kalim says very clearly that Yeush by itself is going to be Kona. Okay, so that's difficult. And for 22 years, this question was posed and presented and bothered Rav Yosef. And then Adias of Rav Yosef Bereisho Parka, and what happens is that 22 years later, what happens? Rav Yosef becomes a Rosh Yeshiva. In other words, Rabbah, up until that point in time, was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Yosef was a Talmud in the Yeshiva. And then 22 years comes and go. Rabbah passes away. Rav Yosef now is appointed Rosh Yeshiva. And what happens once you become Rosh Yeshiva? So now you got answers, right? Rav Yaakov Emden writes this. He quotes Rav Yaakov Emden. And that is that when you accept an appointment of Gedula, so at that point in time, you're given a certain amount of siyata d'shmaya, you're able to see things a little bit clearer. And what happens over here? And now he says, Shino Hashem Kishino Maisa Dame. So Shino Maisa my time Mahasam Mikara Eitzim Vashta Kalim. So Shino Hashem Nami Mikara Karale Mashcha Vahashta Abarzin. Okay. So what Rav Yosef now is Mechash is the following. Up until now, what do we know? That Shinu is a Kona. Shinu meaning an actual physical change in the item. Right? In other words, what you and I call Shinu and Maisa. The Gemara just simply calls it Shinui. And why is a Shinu going to be Kona? So Rav Yosef says, I'll tell you why. Because basically, it's a new entity. Right? Originally, it was called wood. Now it's called a Kli. So in other words, what really is behind a Shinu and Maisa is that it reflects the fact that it's a new entity. So in other words, so Shinui Maisa is Kona. So you know what also is going to be Kona? Shinui Hashem. In other words, when the item undergoes now a branding, a rebranding. For example, over here, what was it called originally? It was simply called Mashka. In other words, it was hide. It was a hide of an animal, raw hide of an animal. And now what happens is that you're buying it as some sort of spread for your table, some sort of tray for the table. So at that point in time, no longer is it just simply called Mashcha. You know what it is? It's called Abarzin, or the Mishnah and Kalim calls it an Itzba, right? Abarzin is just simply the Aramaic word of the Hebrew word Itzba. In other words, it's rebranded. It's a totally new item based on the fact that it's got a new name. And now the Gemara introduces us to this idea of Shinui Hashem. So what can create a Kenyan? Shinui Maisa for sure can create a Kenyan. That was yesterday's daf. And what Rav Yosef now is being Mechadish is that even Shinui Hashem can create a kinyan. So over here, it's not Yeush by itself. It's Yeush coupled with Shinu Hashem. Okay. So we've just learned together that we have now a new method of kinyan, and that's what's called Shinu Hashem. Now, the Gemara says that Shinu Hashem is just like Shinu Emaisa. Tosos on the very bottom. Last Tosos on the Amud. Shinu Hashem ki Shinu Emaisa dam elav ki Shinu Emaisa mamish. So even though the Gemara says they're comparable, they're not perfectly comparable, points out Tosos. Why? Okay, so as far as Shinu Emaisa is concerned, that by itself is a kinyan. We said that yesterday. We're going to say it tomorrow, right? And sandwich in between this today's daf, Samach Zayin. But in other words, but Shinu Emaisa is a kinyan by itself. However, Ulakaman Gabi Ganav Vatavach, Uva Acher Vaganavot, the Prach Vishinu Emaisa, Mikam Alaman Damad Lokane. Aval Shinui Hashem, Tosos writes over here, last words of the Tosos, Greda Lokani below Yeush O Shinui Maisa. Shinui Hashem needs a partner. Shinui Hashem by itself is not going to be Kona. You need Shinui Hashem plus. Now that plus could either be Shinui Hashem plus Yeush, or Shinui Hashem plus Shinui Maisa, which admittedly, by the way, is a tricky line by Tosos, because Tosos just pointed out that Shinui Maisa by itself is going to be a kinyan. So what do I need? Shinu Hashem plus Shinu Emaisa? That part of Tosus needs more hesber, more analysis. But anyway, but Tosus says that although the Gemara's Lashon is that Shinu Hashem and Shinu Emaisa are similar, they're similar but not the same. Okay, so says Tosus. We're back to the Gemara. So we just learned together that after 22 years of how could it be that the Mishnah and Kalim says that Yeush by itself is going to be Kona? So Rav Yosef finally came to Einfeld. 22 years later, it's not just Shinu Hashem, it's Shinu Hashem coupled with Yeush. Let's say it better. It's not just Yeush. Sorry, that's the better way to say it and the correct way to say it. It's not just Yeush, it's Yeush plus Shinu Hashem. Okay. Vahare Meirish, we're on Samach Vav Amud Beis, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. Now, what about the beam? The Ikashinu Hashem, the Meikara Kshura Vahashat Talala. You know what happens when you steal a beam? When you steal a beam and you insert it as part of the of your house. So originally, what was it called? It was called a beam, a Kshura. And now as you put it in part and parcel of your house, you know what it's called? It's called the roof of your house, Talala. And now, Vitanan, and now we have a mission, Adios. So, Meir Shagazul Shabana Bebira. So, Shenotel Damav, Mimne Tekanus Hashavim. Okay, so the mission, Adios, introduces us to Tekanus Meirish, Tekanus Shavim. We are going to go over this idea numerous times over here in Baba Kama. This may be the first time we're seeing it together. I'm not gonna swear by that. But the idea is very simple. I steal a beam. I build it into my house. Okay? No, right, what I did was terrible. Okay. And now, I write thoughts of tshuva. I want to return the beam. Now, in order for me to do tshuva, what I have to do? I have to deconstruct my house, take down my house, and then and only then return the beam, and then I do tshuva. That's tshuva, returning the item that I stole. You know what? I thought about doing tshuva. I'm going to think again. I'm not going to take down my whole house. That's crazy. So the Chachamim recognized and realized that what they want to do is make it easier for Baalei Tshuva, for people to do tshuva. And so therefore the Chachamim came, instituted a takana, which is Takanas Meirish. So what you could do is you could pay for the beam and not have to actually return the beam itself. Mid Araisa, you need to return the beam. The Chachamim are Masakin that what you could do now is you could pay for the beam. Ah. So this is a takana. It's a takana de Rabbanan. And now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Rav Yosef, you just introduced us this idea of Shinui Hashem. If you have Yeish coupled with Shinui Hashem, so you're Kona. So over here by the Meirish, so I don't need a takana mid de Rabbanan. Meaning what happened is that when I stole it, what was it called? A beam. Everyone called it a beam. And now as I installed it as part of my house, what is it called? It's called Talala. It's called the roof. So it has undergone a Shinui Hashem. And let's assume also there's Yesh as well. So we have Yesh and we have Shinui Hashem. So what do I have now? I have a Kenyan. I don't need a Takana de Rabbana now to institute and tell me that I don't have to return the item. I don't have to return the item based on the rules of Kenyanim. The Gemara's question, exactly how I just said it. So time I made Takana de Rabbana, and we're now in the very top of Samach Zayin Amad Aleph Halav Hachi Hadar Be'enei. So without the takana, you would have to return the beam. But why? It's undergone a Shinui Hashem. So I'm Rav Yosef, Meir Shmolav. So Rav Yosef will tell you the following, and that is that even after it's installed as part of your house, it's still called the Meirish. Detanya, and how do I know that? Based on the following: Salos Abayis Elu Hamelatitin, and Haubin Elu Hamirishos. In Sefer Yecheskel, in Perek Mem Aleph. So Yechezkel has a vision of the future Beis Hamikdash, the third Beis Hamikdash, and he's describing the actual edifice of the Beis Hamikdash. He describes the Tzalaos Abayis and the Ubim, and we have a Targum that tells us what they are. Anyway, the Ubim are the Merishos. So over there, even though he's looking at the finished Beis Hamikdash, so and he's pointing to the roof of it, and what does he describe it as? Well, in his Lashon it's called Ubim, but in Targum it's called Merish. So what Rav Yosef now is pointing out, he's proving, is that despite the fact that it's already installed as part and parcel of the house, it's still called a Meirish. So in other words, it has not undergone a Shinui Hashem. Rabbi Zera Amar Shinui Chosel B'Yasub B'Shinui Hashem Lo Havi Shinui. Rabbi Zera will give another answer, a supplemental answer. And that is that if I were to undo my house and I would take the beam off the house, meaning maybe it is a Shinui Hashem, maybe it really is in fact called a tlala, and it's no longer called a meirish. But if I deconstruct my house and I take the beam out, so you know what can happen? It could be reverted to be calling a meirish, and this is what's called a shinui hachozer lebriyaso, and that's not considered a shinui. Something which is reversible. I alluded to this in the beginning of the daf today. Something which is reversible is in fact not considered a shinui. Shinui is something which is an irreversible change, either physical or a irreversible name change as well. So the Gemara says, now, you're telling me that a Shinui Hashem that is irreversible. So So you mean to tell me that that in fact is going to be shinui? Consider the following: varitzinor demi ikara kitzitzta. So vehashta tzinora v'tanya. Okay, so let's talk about a pipe. Now I say a pipe over here. It's not the best way to describe it. It's not really a pipe. In other words, basically what it is, it's a block of wood. And what we're going to do is that we're going to carve out the block of wood so that now what it can be do is it serves as a receptacle for water. It's a channel for water. Water is able to go through it. So it's kind of like a pipe, more like a little bit more like a gutter, a wooden gutter. Anyway, so the halacha is as follows. We're here in Mikvaos, and let's just learn a little bit of Hilchos Mikvaos together, shall we? So a mikvah has to be collected rainwater. In other words, a perfect mikvah would be a hole in the ground, empty, and when it rains, so it collects the rainwater. And the water was not collected in any kind of kli prior to that. It simply went straight from the heavens down into the pit. This is what's called a mikvas mayim. Okay? If, in fact, any of the water went through a kli and then into the mikvah, so that's what's called mayim she'uvim. And mayim she'uvim, the mikvah would be a pasul mikvah, wouldn't be a kasher mikvah. So over here now, what if I made a kli, collected the rainwater, and that went into the mikvah? The mikvah would be no good. In other words, that mikvah no longer is main mikvah, but rather it's called mayim she'uvim, and it would be no good. Good. So now, let's make this a little bit more complicated. We're going to be learning together a Mishnah in Mikvos. What if I took this block of wood, inserted it into the ground, then carved out a groove for the water to go through, and now when it rains, rain is now going to go through this wooden block, this carved wooden block, and then into the mikvah. Is that going to be okay? Is that going to be acceptable? The Mishnah Mikvahs tells us it depends. Did I first put it in the ground and then carve it out, or did I carve it out and then put it into the ground? If I first carved it out and then put it into the ground, it's a kli, and as such, so now as the rainwater goes through it, even though I put it into the ground, but nevertheless, it's mayim she'uvim. If, on the other hand, I put it first in the ground, this wooden block in the ground, and then after I put it into the ground, now I carved it out, it's not a kli. It's considered karka, and therefore it's not considered mayim she'uvim. That's what we're going to learn together. What's the problem? The problem is that once I carve it out, so basically what I've done is I've rebranded it. I've now made it a new entity. Now, I did a little bit of Shinui Maisa, and I also did a Shinui Hashem. And so, therefore, what difference does it make whether I did it before I put it into the ground or I did it after I put it into the ground? If your suggestion is that Shinui Hashem is significant, an irreversible change is significant, so then what we have over here is a Shinui Hashem. It should be a kli, and regardless of whether or not I made it a kli before or after I inserted it into the ground. That's Gemara's question. Let's get all this together inside. Vishinu Hashem Shenechos Zebriyasa Miha Vishinui Vaharetzinor Demi Ikara Kitzitzta. This, it's a pipe. It's not exactly a pipe, this gutter. So originally it was just simply a block of wood. And Hashat Sinora, and then when I carved it out, so now it's a, let's call it a gutter. So Vitanya Sinor Shechakulu, Sof Kavu, Posos Amikvah, Kavu Sof Chakuku, and a Posos Amikvah. Good. So we just learned together that it depends whether or not I carved it out before or after I put it into the ground. So if you really subscribe to Shinui Hashem, so then if I put the block in the ground, carved it out, it still should be a kli, and therefore the mayim should be mayim she'uvim, and the mikveh should be pasul. So the Gemara says, okay, the question is good, but you have to take the totality of what we're talking about. We're talking about mayim she'uvim. Mayim she'uvim, how serious is mayim she'uvim? The Gemara says not that serious. It's not a psul d'araisa. Shani shiva demid rabbanan hi. It's a psul d'rabbanan. Mayim she'uvim is just a psul d'rabbanan, so therefore the chachamim have the right to be mekel. Right? And generally speaking, by d'rabbanan, we're mekel, by d'rabbanan. Safik d'rabbanan, we're going to be mekel. Over here, by mayim she'uvim, that's not a suffix, but still. In other words, if I put the block in the ground first, and then I carved it out, being that the psul that we're describing over here to begin with is a psul derabanan, so therefore we're going to be mekel, as long as the block went into the ground first, and then only afterwards I carved it out. So yachi afilu dereisha nami. So the Gemara says, well, if it's mayim she'uvim, and you're telling me that it's a psul derabanan, we can be mekel, So what if I carved it first and then put it into the ground? So what? Once I put it into the ground, haven't I grounded it? So the Gemara says, Hasamika Torah's Kli Alav, Betalush, Hachain Torah's Kli Alav Betalush. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand that, but it's still different. In other words, if I carved it out before I put it into the ground, Torah's Kli, meaning now at this point in time, it's a independent, recognized Kli. And therefore, just because I grounded it is not going to be enough. On the other hand, if I first put it into the ground, it never was a Kli Betalush. And so therefore, the Chachamim felt under those circumstances, you could be more Mekel. Okay, so Maim Shuvim Zepsul Derabanan, that is a takeaway from today's daf. However, it does get more complicated. If you look at Rashi right over here, right, you could start the whole discussion with the Rashi right over here. She'iva, Rashi writes, Masha Mikva Nifsal, Begimul Lugim Maim Shuvim Derabanan Hu. So Rashi says that if I have three lugim is just a fraction of what's required for a mikvah. A mikvah requires 40 sa'ah, right? Gimel lugim is just a small fraction of a mikvah. So Rashi writes over here that gimel lugim of mayim she'uvim is a psul derabban. A careful and critical reading of the Rashi would seem to indicate that if my entire mikvah was made up of mayim she'uvim, it would be more than just a psul derabbanan. It would be a psul deraisa. This is a major discussion, right? The Beis Yosef picks up on this Rashi, and this is a major discussion amongst the Rishonim, whether or not if my entire mikvah is made up of Maim She'uvim, is that a Psul D'Raisa or is that a Psul D'Rabbanan? So as much as our Gemara says that Maim She'uvim is a Psul D'Rabbanan, it's really not as simple as we just presented it. We continue. Meitzvei, so again, What did we learn together? That Rav Yosef says that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. Okay, and what we've been doing is we've been challenging Rav Yosef. And in the first part of today's daf, the Mishnah and Kalim, which really is a strong kasha on Rav Yosef, 22 years for Rav Yosef to formulate an answer, because the Mishnah and Kalim would seem to indicate that Yesh by itself is going to be Kona. And what Rav Yosef's Mecharish is, it's not just Yesh, it's Yesh and Shinu Hashem. And then the Gemara talked more about this idea of Shinur Hashem, right? We saw Shinur Hashem also in terms of mikvah, in terms of a kli, rendering the mikvah disqualified because of Maim She'uvim, because now it's because the water ran through a kli, and so isn't that considered Shinur Hashem? Okay, good. And the Gemara had answers. We continue. We are on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down. No, a little bit more, about halfway down. Meitzvei, Haganav, Hagazlan, Ha'anas. So, Hektesh, Shumasim, Truma, Maasro, Son, Maiser. You have a Gazlan, you have an Anas. Right? Anyone who is going to be taking something that does not belong to them. So, and then, they're Maktish the item. Or they declare to be Truma. Or they take off Truma, some Maisers. It's all going to be effective. So says the Braisa. Now, Amre Hasam Ika Shinu Hashem, Demikara Tivla, Vahashta Truma, Hektesh Mikara Echulim, Vahashta Hektesh. So again, the Gemara says that over there, in those cases, it's not just Yeish, it's Yeish coupled with Shinu Hashem. And so when you have Yeish coupled together with Shinu Hashem, so then it's going to, there'll be a Kinyan. Okay. Amre Chis, Amre Avionis, Aminan Lishinui. Shukona. Okay, a little bit of a revisit of yesterday's daf. Okay, so far in today's daf, all we've been discussing is Yeush. Yeush by itself, is it going to be Kona, yes or no? Rav Yosef says, yeah, Yeush by itself is not going to be Kona. And the Gemara's attacks and defense of Shita's Rav Yosef. Good. Put a pause over here. We're going to come back to Yeush in just a moment. The Gemara is going to head back to Shinu Maisa. I'm Rav Chisda, I'm Rav Yonis, I'm Inan Lishin, it's Ukona Shinemar, Ve'eshef is Exela, Ma'atam Lamar Sher Gazal. So the pasuk, which we already cited in yesterday's daf, we're going to review today, and the Torah says that when you steal an item, so you want to do tshuva, what do you have to do? It's very simple. Ve'eshef is Exela, Asher Gazal. Those words, Asher Gazal, seem to be superfluous. Im Kein Shagazal Yachzer V'im Lav, Damim Ba'ama by Shlomei. So if the item is as is, you have to return it as is. If the item is not, so you have to reimburse. So hi, Asher Gazal. Ah, Hi, Asher Gazel me by Lamute Gezel Aviv. Sheina Mosif Chomish Al Gezel Aviv. So, sorry. I'm sorry. Before we get to the next point of the Gemara. So, what do you see over here? That once you've rendered a change in the item, a physical change in the item, so no longer do you have to return the item as it is, because it's no longer as it is, but rather what do you have to do? You have to reimburse. What did we learn together from that? That when you make a physical change in the item, you're koni the item using the method of shinui maisa. Good. Now the Gemara pushes back. So so let's say, gzelas aviv. What happens is your father stole an item. Now you inherited the item. The owner of the item comes over to you and says, hey, could you please return to me the item that your father stole? You right now swear that the item was not in fact stolen. The idea that you're swearing, by the way, is a little bit strange because what exactly are you swearing? You really don't know a whole lot. Anyway, the point is that there's not going to be chomish and there's not going to be asham on gzelas aviv. The pasuk, by the way, that we're quoting, v'heshif is gzela, asher gazal, is by the asham gzela. So there is no din of chomish and asham by gzelas aviv. That's what we learn from the pasuk. Why? The pasuk says v'heshif is gzela, asher gazal. The item that you stole is only going to be eligible for chomish and asham. So im kenechter rechman v'heshif is gzela. So the Gemara says, if all you wanted to do was just teach me that particular halacha, so then the Torah would have just simply said, Veheshiv es gizelo, with the possessive of, and that would have been sufficient. By virtue of the fact that now the Torah adds an additional asher gazal, I learned two halachas. Now, in a slightly different version, we have Rav Chista quoting Rabbi Yonas and saying that Shinui is not going to be Kona. Shinui Maisa is not going to be Kona. V'haksiv Asher Gazal. Now, the Gemara says, great. And what exactly do you do with the words Asher Gazal? How mi ba'ilei al gzelo shalom mosif chomish vein mosif chomish al gezo aviv. Good. So there is a Nika Dharma. There is a version in the Gemara that says that even Shinui Maisa by itself is not going to be Kona. Right? Seems to be not the accepted viewpoint of the Gemara. Right. In other words, in yesterday's daf and most of today's daf, Shinui Maisa is in fact going to be Kona, but at least there is a Deah in the Gemara that Shinui Maisa is not going to be Kona. Amar Ula. We're on the very bottom of Samach Zainam and Aleph, a return to Yesh. Okay, Yesh is going to be Kona, Yesh is not going to be Kona. So that was a major part of yesterday's daf and today's daf, and it's a Machlokas Amorayim. So far, what we know is that according to Rav Yosef, Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. And again, to be clear, we're not talking about a lost item that was recovered by somebody, where he finds the item behetera. In other words, over there was nothing illegal that was done. Someone lost an item, gave up hope on returning having the item returned to him. He expresses his yeush. When somebody else picks it up, he gets to keep it. That is a kinyan according to everybody. That works. What we don't know, or at least what is up for debate and controversy, is when I steal the item, and then the owner has yeush. Is that going to be a kinyan, yes or no? So in yesterday's daf, some say it's a kinyan. Some say it only operates midrabanan. And Rav Yosef in yesterday's daf says it doesn't work at all. Not for gzela. With that, we're going to couple it together now with the shita of Ula.
Is there a time frame that we have to leave?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know.
I still don't know.
Amar Ula Minayin LeYesh in a Kona. So how do I know that Yesh is not going to be Kona? The simple reading of Ula is that Ula is together with Rav Yosef. Put Ula together with Rav Yosef, that Yesh is not Kona. And how do I know that? Shenamar, because over here, Psukim in Navi. Trey Asar, Sefer Malachi. Ve'eveisim gazol ve'asepisech ve'asachola. So the Navi Malachi, we do this as a Haftarah. You forgive me, please. I forget which Haftar it is. If Stu were here, he would tell me. Right? He knows these things backwards, forwards. Anyway, so but the pasuk in Malachi says that he's giving musa to the Jewish people. What kind of karbanos are you bringing? You're bringing terrible karbanos. You're bringing stolen animals, lame animals, pisach. By the way, not pesach. The word over here in the Navi is pisach. You're bringing sick animals, animals that are simply not good, not qualified. And over here, look at the listing over here. Gazel dumi de piseach. So ma piseach leisle tekanta klal. Av gazel leisle tekanta klal. Lo shan lifnei yesh, lo shan lacher yesh. So, a piseach, a lame animal. A lame animal is a bal mum. A lame animal cannot be brought as a carbon, and there's nothing you could do to improve that situation. It is a irreversible disqualification. And the Gemara says, because the Navi puts together the Gazel together with the Piseach, so what do I now know? I now know that the Gazel also is an irreversible psul of the carbon. As we now turn to the Amud Beis. So, Loshan Lifnei Yesh and Loshan Lachar Yesh, it doesn't matter before or after Yesh. So, so if you're makdish it after Yesh, so it is not going to be a good carbon. Why? Because Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. Okay. I read Ula in its simplest form, and that is that Yeush itself by itself is not going to be Kona, and we learn it based on the Pasuk in Malachi. Okay, that's the simplest way to read Ula. However, you will notice that there is a tremendous Tosus over here, tremendous, I'm just talking about its size. It starts on the Amud Aleph, it goes into the Amud Beis, and Tosus over there starts with a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that according to Ula, Yeush by itself is in fact going to be Kona. How does he say that? After having read our Gemara, because you also have to read another Gemara as well, the Gemara at the end of the Masechta on Kuf Yudalid. So over there it says that according to Ula, Yesh by itself is going to be Kona. And so what the Rabbeinu Tam is going to try to do is he's going to try to be Miyashiv. How can our Gemara here on Samach Zayin say that Ula says that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona? And meanwhile, the Gemara in Kuf Yudalid says it is going to be Kona. So the way Rabbeinu Tam navigates the two Gemaras is that he says that Yesh by itself, this is Lufi Shitas Ula. Yesh by itself is in fact going to be Kona. It just happens to be that you can't bring it as a carbon. Why not? Any guesses? Why can't you bring it as a carbon if in fact Yesh is going to be Kona? Because to bring it as a carbon, in other words, what are you doing? You're bringing a stolen item as a carbon, even though you made a formal kinyan on the item, but in other words, it's not right to take a stolen item and bring it as a carbon, otherwise known as mitzvah habavavero. So that's what Ula meant over here in our Gemara. It is not a simple reading of Ula in our Gemara over here. It is, to say the least, a chiddush. But anyway, that is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Tosus from there goes on and on. The read does not like this Rabbeinu Tam. Asks numerous questions on it. Gives a different approach. Anyway, see Tosus over here for a lengthy discussion within Shitas Ula. Meanwhile, we're going to go on. We're in Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Rav Amar Mehacha. Rava arrives at the same conclusion, which is Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. How do I know that? Because it says Karbono, Velo Gazel. So the Torah says that when you offer a carbon, it has to be yours. It can't be stolen. Now, Amos, Ilem Lifnei Yesh Pshita, Lamalikra, Elalav, Laacher Yesh, Shmamina Yesh Lo Kani, Shmamina. Can't be talking about before Yesh. Because remember, now, before Yesh, can you even render it a carbon? No. In other words, before Yesh, you steal an animal. Can you be Makdashi animal? You can't be Makdashi animal. It's not yours. So it's talking about Lacha Yesh, and even Lacha Yesh can't be brought as a carbon. Why not? Because Yesh by itself is not Kona. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Do you remember yesterday's daf? So over here, this is really a strong plug for Chazara. Meaning in yesterday's daf, so what did we learn together? Rabbi, and that is that Rava said, yes. You Yesh by itself is going to be Kona. So the Haravahu the Amar the Gazel Carbon the Chavrei. What about the drasha we just learned together? With the drasha we just learned. What did you steal? You didn't steal a chulin animal of your friend. What you stole is you stole a carbon of your friend. That's how he explained the brisa yesterday. And now Rava today is doing an about face. Rava's telling you that we're talking about where you stole stam an animal. So he by Zemahadarbe. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'll tell you what happened, and that is that upon further consideration, Rava changed his mind, meaning Rava acknowledged and agreed. That's not the simple reading of the pasuk. The simple reading of the pasuk is that you stole an animal from your friend and you can't offer it as a carbon. Why not? Because Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. Otherwise stated, Yad Chazara. Or alternatively, what you could say is that one shita belongs to Rav and the other shita belonged to Rav Papa. Right? The Gemara doesn't tell us which one's which, but in other words, when presented to us, it was erroneously presented as Rava. But one of them, in fact, is Rav Papa. Okay, Adkan.
Right. So he basically, Rav Papa, revised Rava's teaching there.
Either that or just simply it was misrepresented to us. That's all. Okay. So where are we right now? A lengthy discussion regarding whether Yesh by itself is going to be Kona. We know for sure that Rav Yosef, yesterday's daf, Rav Yosef says that Yesh Kedi is not going to be Kona. We think that Ula is on board. That's the simple reading of Ula that we learned in today's daf. On the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, going to Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and Rava as well. Rava with an Aleph, Rava as well is also of the position that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. So a simple reading of yesterday's Gemara and today's Gemara is that it's going to be Rav Yosef, Ula, and Rava, the three of them, all are of the position that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. And other Amorim disagree, as we learned in yesterday's daf. Midas Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, finishing up today's daf. So now we're going to go to Dal V'Hei. What happens, you steal an item. After having stolen the item, so now you decide, you know what? It's not enough that I stole it. Let me also shecht it. Or let me also sell it. So the Torah says, really? So not only do you steal, but on top of that, you also either sold it or you shechted it. Now the Torah says, I'm going to impose even a harsher kenas on you. And that is Dal V'Hei. You're going to have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount of the item that you stole. Which one is it? 4 or 5? Depends. If it's a shor, so it's going to be 5 times the amount. If it's a seh, 4 times the amount. Okay. So the Gemara says, now this kenas of Dal V'Hei only applies to shor v'seh, nothing else. How do I know that? That's our Gemara right now. V'amai. So Nalev shor, shor mishabes, malahalan, chayv of kayotz b'em avkan. Immediately the Gemara challenges, how do I know that the shor by Dal V'Hei is limited to just shor? One, we say, and we said this pretty recently in the daf, and that is that we know the shor by Shabbos. You own a shor. Your animal has to rest. And by the way, it's not just your animals. It's not just your shor. All animals that you own need to rest on Shabbos. Shvisas Behema would include all animals, even the birds that you own need to rest on Shabbos. So once we know that by Shvisas Behemto, it would apply to Behema, Chaya, and Oaf. So why don't we say the same thing over here by Dal V'Hei? All animals are subject to the Knas of Dal V'Hei. So Amar Rav Amar Krah Shor V'Seh Shnei Pa'amim. So Shor V'Seh In Midah Achrini Lo. So the Gemara's answer is that if you look carefully in our Psukim of the Knas Dal V'Hei, you will see repetition. That repetition tells us exclusivity. Amri Ham Yaser, the Gemara says, great. Can you show me very clearly how it is the Psukim repeat themselves? Elam Ashur Vizad the Seifa Miyaser, Nichtav Rachmani Kiginov Shor Utvacho Omecharo, Chamisha Bakar Yisham Tachtav, V'arbat Son Tachtav. So the Gemara says, here's how the Torah could have expressed it without repetition. It could have said, a person steals shor v'seh, okay, and that's it. And he shechs it, or he sells it. So 5 for the bakar, and 4 for the tzon. And you see what just happened? We didn't have to repeat the word shor v'seh. So the Gemara says, ikas v'rachman ha'achi. Now the Gemara is going to be very technical, which happens. I mean, that's what the Gemara does. If the Gemara would have phrased it in such a manner, so then we would have arrived at incorrect conclusions. I would have erroneously thought it's 4 and 5, otherwise known as 9. So, v'chitema, haksiv tachtav tachtav. The Gemara says, really, you would have thought that? It says the word tachtav twice, meaning it's 4 for this and 5 for this. So, chad tachtav miyasev, ahu mibay lilajash achrina detanya. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not enough. It's not enough information. I would have said that the second tachtav is telling me a different point. I might have thought that if my shor that I stole was worth 100 mana, so what I could do now is I could just simply give back an additional 4 animals, but 4 of the lamest and sickest of animals. In other words, not valued at 100. So tamulamar tachtav, and that's why the double language of tachtav. But in other words, that's what I would have done with the extra tachtav, and I would have erroneously thought it's 4 and 5, otherwise known as 9. Ella Shorva said the Resha Miyusar. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's the Shor instead, the beginning, which are extra. Nichter Rachmana Kignav Ishu Tvacho Macharo Chamisha Bakar Yisham Tachas Ashor V'ar Betzon Tachas Aseh. So the Shor instead, the end of the Pasuk, that's necessary. But the Shor instead, the beginning of the Pasuk, of that Pasuk, is unnecessary and therefore superfluous. Therefore teaching us that this Halach of Dal Vehei is only for Shor instead. Because of Rechman Ahachi, the Gemara says, I'm still unconvinced. If that's what the Torah would have said, Havamina ad deganiv trei v'tavach lehu. So I would have thought that in order to be chai this kenasa dal vehei, I have to steal both the shor and the seh, and I have to shecht one of the two. Utvachoksiv lechad. So the Gemara says no, because utvacho is in lashon yachid. I shecht it. Sorry, I jumped ahead one step. In other words, right now the havamin of the Gemara is that I have to steal both and shecht both. The Gemara says, no, I wouldn't have thought that because it says tvacho in the singular. So maybe I only am chayav a kenas when I steal both and sell both. So mecharoksiv, the Gemara says again, lechad, it's in lashon yachid. Ve'ema havamina ad deganav trei v'tavachad u'mezabin chad. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the requirement is to steal two and to shecht one, sell one. Oh, mecharoksiv. So the Gemara says, no, I wouldn't have thought that because it says or. So ve'akati avaminach adeganiv tavayu v'tavachad u'mishayar chad. Oh, mezabin chad u'mishayar chad. Still, I would have thought that in order to be chayav this kenasa dal vehei, I have to steal two, and of the two that I stole, either shecht one of them or sell one of them. So Ella Shor de Seifa v'sed de Reisha de Nechta Rechmana ki gnov ish so Shor o Tvacho o Mecharo Chamisha Bakar Yisham Tachta V'arbat Son Tachas Aseh. So Shor de Seifa v'sed de Reisha Lamali Shema Minah Shor v'sed in Midech Rina Lo. So the Gemara says that what I could do is that I could, on the first half of the pasuk, put the word shor. Second half of the pasuk, put the word seh. There, I would have no confusion. It's a strong word. I would have almost no confusion about what I need to do in order to be subject to the kenas. And now the fact that it says seh in the resha and shor in the seifa, that's superfluous. And therefore, it comes to tell me that the chi of dal vehei is only for shor v'seh and nothing else. Good, Adkan. We're going to pause over here. Let's quickly recap. Learning that we did this morning, L'zecher Nishmas, Zev ben Yosef Halevi, Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. So let's just quickly recap our daf today. So over here, Rav Yosef was bothered. Rav Yosef says that Yesh Kedi Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. You steal an item, the owner has given up hope on getting back the item. He articulated it. Is that enough to create a Kenyan? Rav Yosef says no. We have numerous sources that would indicate otherwise, including a Mishnah and Kalim. So what Rav Yosef says is that, yes, I know that, but that's what's called Shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem is the manner in which you were Kona. It got us to talking a little bit today about Shinui Hashem. We just touched on it. Our Gemara said that Shinui Hashem is just like Shinui Maisa, and we quoted a Tosfos that says they're not exactly the same. Shinui Maisa by itself is going to be Kona. That's not true by Shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem you need coupled with something else. Good. This idea that Yesh by itself is going to be Kona, subject to a major machlokus amongst the Amorayim. Right? Our Gemara digressed for just a moment to go back to Shinui Maisa, but then we immediately return back to the topic of Yesh by itself, Yesh Kedi, whether it's Kona. Ula on the bottom of Samach Zainam and Aleph says that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. The simple reading of Ula is that he agrees with Rav Yosef. Okay, and I quoted Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam does not read Ula simply, but the simple reading is that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. And then the Gemara cited that Rava also went on board with this line of thinking that Yesh by itself is not going to be Kona. Good, and that was most of our daf today. At the end of today's daf, the Knas Dal Vehei, you steal a shor, you steal a seh. Either you shecht it or you sell it. So now you're subject to even a compounded knas where you're going to have to pay dalid or hay, four or five times the amount that you stole. In other words, because now you stole and you compounded your error, so the Torah says that you're chayv dal v'hay. But as we learned in today's daf, the knas of dal v'hay is only on shor and seh and on no other item, not even another type of animal.